Welcome to another edition of Ubuntu Radio. I am at home today with my son, Ohani Adari Samilo Ash. Faloops! Faloops! And I wanted to talk to him because I've had a couple conversations. I think I mentioned in the past that I always wanted to do almost like time-lapse photographs of him standing in a specific spot every day, like those time-lapse videos you see on YouTube where you can see the progression of a human being, whether it's just growing up, growing a beard or something. I think those things are absolutely fascinating. I think it's the day-to-day struggles and day-to-day increases, deficiencies, movements in life that make life interesting, and those things should be studied in such a way so that you can chart where you were, where you are, and where you want to go. So I always wanted to do that pictorially, and I really never did. He's 13 years old now, about to be 14 in... how long?
3 weeks.
In 3 weeks. But I have managed to record him in some conversations at specific milestones in his life, and I always want him specifically to look back at age 20, 25, 30 to say, man, this is who I was. This is what I sounded like. For example, at the end of fifth grade, we had a conversation, actually in June, at the end of fifth grade. That's what, 3 years ago? I think we had a conversation at the end of sixth grade. We had one after the first semester of sixth grade. Either way, it's in the podcast. They recorded, and you can scroll through the Ubuntu Radio podcast list to see them. So I've got him at the end of fifth grade, I believe at the end of sixth grade. I don't know if I wanted to interview you at the end of the seventh grade because there was a whole lot of ish going on. But we're going to get you at the end of eighth grade because this is a milestone event. My son is about to be in high school next year. A high schooler. Dangerous, dangerous times. And so I wanted to get his thoughts now on who he is and what he wants and things like that. And also draw some comparisons to when I was leaving 8th grade in June of 1990. What's going on then? What's going on now? And what can we project into the future? And so that's where this episode of Ubuntu Radio, probably subtitled as part of my millennial series, because my son is obviously millennial, to talk about what he sees, what we both see, and hopefully what he's going to be doing. So, Ohani Ash, welcome to Ubuntu Radio. Eighth grade, right now, Ohani Ash, Raleigh, North Carolina. What up?
It's done.
It's done? Don't you have exams?
We just finished exams, so we're just going to be doing absolutely nothing.
So what will nothing entail? Just sitting down in class?
I don't even think, because tomorrow actually is the Math 1 exam, but I don't have Math 1, so instead of not going, you just sit in the auditorium and do nothing. Or until the test is over. So about 4 or 5 hours, I'm just going to be sitting in the auditorium with probably 30 people.
Do you think most of the 8th graders are going to be home?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'd never heard about that. But this was 27 years ago when I left 8th grade, so I probably may have forgotten. I'm sure there's... In high school, I remember there was like a nothing week or a spirit week where we didn't really do a bunch of stuff. So have you guys done like a spirit week, dress up as a nerd? And
yeah,
dress
it's
up?
Always a spirit week, but it's at the beginning of school. Just like the last day of school, everybody kind of dresses oddly. I know that I'm going to be wearing one red shoe and one blue shoe. I don't know what else.
Is that a gang affiliation, my friend?
No.
And you were saying you're both in both gangs? I don't think that's allowed. I don't think that's allowed. You're a blip?
You're a blip or a crud.
You're a blip or a crud. You're a blip or a crud. Is that a thing mm-hmm. in middle school?
Well, blips and cruds? No. There are. If you're in a gang, then you're in a gang.
But are there gangs in middle school?
Mm-hmm.
They were, believe it or not, the Decepticons were the major gangs. The Decepticons were the major gangs in 1990.
Think of your own name, Jack. Think of your own name.
But the Decepticons were dangerous, man. That was badass.
They always lost.
Hmm?
The Decepticons always lost.
Well, you know, son, gang violence is wrong. Nobody should ever do it. We all lose. Da, 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 the more you know. Confidence could make fear drop. In the game, on a plane till our ears pop. I look at life like, what's the purpose of it all? Stick with us and you'll never see your budget fall. Stay true, they can't corrupt us all. We fresh in LAX and still my mother calls. In Cali, I'm a big man, Paul Gasol. Mathematically speaking, I think it's problem solved. So gangs and violence was never an issue in middle school. It was for me. It was every single day. In middle school, in Brooklyn, New York, 188 Rochester Avenue, IS 210, then switched to Merrick McLeod Bethune Academy. We were surrounded by basically the crack war in America. Poverty and blowing out buildings and all that stuff. So violence was an everyday thing, an everyday concern for me. Leaving the building from 1987 to 1990, was it a concern for you at the school where you are now, which is a middle class establishment? Is it 70% white?
Yeah.
Or more?
Probably more.
Very much bread. Very bread.
Bread?
Bread. What does bread look like?
Black and red.
Bread. What is actual bread?
Oh.
Thank you very much. Oh, you're a quick one. So a lot of bread over there at the middle school. But was violence an issue?
Not really. It would be like an occasional fight. Like, I think the moment that, like, I was, like, in a fight, the last thing I can remember, instead of being in a fight, was I stopped a fight.
Right? Between who?
Stopped a fight. It was two kids. One was Latino and one was black.
So the violence was more individual. Some people get in normal beef. But I think in general, just the tone around my middle school was just violence. There were gangs waiting outside. The neighborhood was, I think because it was so drug infested, there were always associative violence around it. But you never get that sense that you feared for your life in middle school at this point.
No, not at all.
But one of the other things is that what we've seen, and I think this started to happen when I was in college, mass shootings and things like that in schools. Was that a concern as well?
There was a kid, and he had sort of like issues. He had been born like outside of the country in like some remote country and then left for dead, and then somebody adopted him and took him to the United States. And he had sort of been like a troublesome person. Like, nobody really wanted to hang around him. Like, if you were friends with him, nobody really wanted to talk to him. Everybody sort of just assumed you were a weird guy. So we were sitting at the table where he was normally sitting, and he was sort of like bugging us every day. And we had, like, it was like me and three other people. And a couple of days later, somebody caught him saying that he was gonna stab all of us. So then they were watching him for like a week and a half, and they found a knife in his back. That might have been like the scariest thing that's happened to me at the school.
You didn't start off in sixth grade at this school. You transferred to this present school that you're graduating from for seventh and eighth grade.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the major difference between the school where you were at in sixth grade and this very bred establishment?
The school that I was at in sixth grade was Ligon, and I did not like that school. It was so hard to succeed unless you either knew the teachers or you knew a lot of people, and I didn't really know either sort of amount of people. So I was kind of like an outcast there, but I still had a couple of friends. And for the most part, I was doing well, but like, as soon as I transferred to where I am, where I'm graduating now, Martin, I noticed that I sort of noticed all the glaring details at Ligon, which was mostly that the teachers didn't really care if you succeeded or not, and the people there were totally ruthless compared to people at the bread establishment that I go to now. Like, Ligon is sort of, it's near downtown, but it's like south side. Like, at one point there was a dude that tried to, I think he robbed a house and then he tried to get in the school. School was on red alert for like an hour. He didn't get in, but he almost did. And there was like a crack in the door where he tried to punch it.
So for you, the experience was better once you transferred to Martin?
Totally.
Now, I'm going to posit another scenario because, let's be honest here, at Martin, you've gotten in some issues.
Yeah.
That you never did at Ligon. Suspended more than one time?
More than once.
Okay, in the 2 years that you were there. So, by that measure, was Martin a better experience for you if you were suspended there twice, but never at Ligon?
I think comparatively, it was more like blips in the year compared to like at Ligon, where it was the entire year was sort of, I was scared of these certain people because I knew that they were in gangs. And I was talking to people, talking to my friends on Instagram that still go to Ligon, and they said that there was a drive-by there, and somebody was looking, and people were coming in the school and looking for people and just saying, oh yeah, that's my son, let me go look for him. And people have almost gotten killed at Ligon. So I think it's, comparatively, it's Martin was sort of blips where I had gotten into a fight here, or gotten in trouble here, besides Ligon, or Martin was blips, and Ligon was, the entire year was just terrifying.
So here's the other scenario. You'd been to a elementary school from K through fifth grade, where you'd gotten used to a certain way of doing things, and from first grade to third grade, and this never happens, your class stayed together. Was it first to third grade? Your class stayed together.
First to third, yeah.
Okay, so with the same teacher, I think.
Second and third was the same teacher, Miss Oliver.
So you were used to a certain stability. Now when you changed to sixth grade, to a completely different environment. Your elementary school is bred as well.
Totally.
So you go to a first year middle school that's not bred. It's diverse. The expectations for you as a student change. Independent of whatever you felt happened at Ligon. I'm not defending Ligon, but I also know that, for example, the middle school I described was probably far worse than Ligon in terms of the scare factor, the fear factor. Nobody wants to be in those environments, but they do happen. I'm positing this theory, and this is one of the things that I hope you start doing as you become a teenager and grow up, and that is to be able to divorce yourself from the situation. And the situation is this: you were at a new establishment, totally new rules, totally new things, and in a sense, you couldn't handle that because you weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
And by the time you transferred to Martin, you had that experience. And so you were more readied for that because of that experience. Could that be a theory? And again, I go back to the fact that at Ligon, despite everything, you didn't get in trouble. At Martin, you've been suspended two or three times.
I think it was still because when I went from fifth to sixth grade, it was a lot of change super quickly. And then at the end of sixth grade, I was sort of like hardened a little bit, maybe, because I had been expecting everybody, oh, there's a fight there happening right there, there's a fight outside. And then as soon as I transferred to Martin, it was all clean and good, and nothing was really happening, and everybody was caring for everybody, and it was really nice.
So you never felt any care at Ligon?
Not really. At Martin, I felt like I could go to a teacher, and I could talk to them on their break or in their planning time, second, third period, and they would say, okay, this is what you can do right now, come back to me tomorrow and we'll talk about what you can do. But at Ligon, I never felt like I could go to a teacher, I would always go to my friend.
But here's the question. So is it also a possibility that at Ligon, your first year in middle school, you were not ready to do that because you didn't know that you could do that? Because I doubt that in elementary school, people go up to teachers, unless they're crying or something, and want salvation. My theory or I'm positing that in sixth grade at this institution at Ligon downtown, because everything was so new, you felt awkward and uncomfortable. So it's not that the teachers weren't ready to help, but you weren't in a position or you weren't in a place mentally where you felt comfortable for that to happen. By the time you made the switch to Martin, because of that whole year of experience and growth as Ohani Ash the person, then you felt more comfortable once you got to Ligon. And the reason I bring that up is obviously there's some racial issues there. Ligon is, you know, a good black population and Martin isn't. What I see is, and you're not saying this, but in a sense it exists, I felt more comfortable going to white people than I did for black people.
I am not black. I mean,
that's and what the I, you world did. Calls wow. me, you did. Okay, so that's something to explore.
Me. I didn't come out of my mother's womb saying, "Hey, everybody, I'm black." No, I was taught to be black, and you were taught to call me that, along with whatever you call yourself. It's just a label. See, from birth, the world force feeds us these labels, and eventually, we all swallow them. We digest and accept the labels, never ever doubting them. But there's one problem. Labels are not you, and labels are not.
With most of my interactions with black people at Ligon, it was terrible, and none of them wanted to be my friends. So I just would go to white people, and they would say, "Okay, just sit next to me, be friends, whatever." And they wouldn't like. They weren't bad people, so I didn't really have a.
So what would constitute bad people?
Trying to fight me out of nothing, or like, even at Martin, I accidentally stepped on some dude's shoe one day, and he kicked me in the nuts, and it hurt. And I was like, that was in seventh grade. That was like the third day, because I didn't know that, like, I didn't really know about shoes then. So I was like, oh, those aren't infrared sixes. Those are just Jordans. They didn't cost $250. They cost $100. And the dude just hit me. I didn't really.
He kicked you in the balls.
He kicked me in the balls.
In the hallway.
In the hallway.
And you were crying and went down and.
I was crying, but I went down.
I mean, it like just swung his leg, is all his power?
It wasn't even like a swing. It was just.
Just a push.
Yeah.
Stick out. Okay. Did you ever run into that guy again? Did he ever say anything?
He was
cursing
in my
at you flash. As soon as he said that?
Not really. He was just. Kind of quiet, but he's a good. Now that I know him, he's a good guy. It was just like I stepped on his shoes. So
did he ever since that day? So it's been about a year and a half, or about a year. Did he ever bring that up? Has that ever come back up? Or as men, we just forget about that and just keep moving
it
forward.
It was like 2 weeks later, and I was like, "Hey, dude, why'd you do that?" And he was like, "Cause these are my favorite shoes." And then I could like immediately just like, it's his favorite shoes. He probably shouldn't step on people's shoes.
What are some other little survival instincts that you picked up? So for anybody who's going to middle school at Martin or wherever, they might pick up. It's the stuff they don't teach you. Don't step on people's shoes.
Don't step on people's shoes. Find like six good people and stick with them the whole year. It's very hard to make friends and keep a social and educational life. And then if you see a fight break out between two people, one, don't go up to it. There are people that get in trouble for walking up to a fight and just sort of like hyping it up because it's like instigating. If you see a fight and you don't know either of the two people fighting, don't go near it. If you do know them, then stop it.
How many fights have you stopped, you said?
One.
Did you get hurt in the middle of the process?
He just like punched me in the back.
How many fights have you started?
One.
What happened there?
Oh, it was when I cut off the front part of my hair in accident. There was gum in my hair. And somebody was laughing at me and I pushed them. And then they punched me.
Okay. So you said you felt unsure around black kids. And what's funny is that I went to a school that was predominantly black and Latino. My middle school. Like 99% black and Latino. But what I'm also hearing from you is that you consider yourself a different type of black boy. And I was a different type of black boy. And so the prevailing thought is, specifically at that school, because it was a low-performing school, one of the low-performing schools in Brooklyn, and they brought us, high-performing Black and Latino students to kind of raise the profile of the school and sort of teach the others, I guess, other students how to work as students. So as an intelligent 12, 13-year-old Black boy in a school surrounded by a community that obviously did not value education, I was an outsider in that sense. But one of the things that gave me entrance into the general population, if you would, was that I could play sports. So I would kick their ass in the classrooms and they knew it. But all the thugs and everybody would want me on their sports teams because I could beat all of them at sports as well. So what was it for you that once you got comfortable gained you entrance and access to, again, this six or seven friends that you know now you need to survive middle school? What was it? This is really shit I'll ever write, sir. Maybe because it's all I know. Life don't let you write twice, sir. One continuous note. The ink in my pen is life, sir. No erases, though. Some people scribble across the line, sir. Maybe that's why they go. Sick of being sublime. I want the everyday to know. Even though I'm on a third kind. And this thing kind of is close. I'ma lay it down on the line. Until I'm eternally a ghost. The opportunity is to die. So right now it just tastes like toast.
At the beginning, the six or seven friends were all white, but then I did sort of, like, get to know more Black people that were sort of, I wouldn't call myself, like, a sellout, but, like, what is it like, an Oreo, where it's, like, Black on the outside and white in the middle, and they would just...
Well, you're Black on the outside.
I'm Black on the outside, but then they say I'm an Oreo because I act white.
What does that mean? This is the same phrase I heard 27 years ago. So what does that mean?
It's, like, instead of acting tough, I would not get into fights.
So every Black boy should get into fights?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying comparative to, like, the kids that were walking around town with the bread ones and the $300 pants and the weird big jackets, puffy jackets, I wasn't like them. So, because that's what the little guys that were still Black and didn't really... indulge.
When you say little guys, you mean not the guys that were not part of the popular crowd.
Like popular, correct. Yeah. Okay. So the people that weren't popular, they would look up to them and say, oh, that's the epitome of Black culture at this school. So it's since I wasn't looking up to them, and instead I was looking up to actors and YouTubers and video game stars, people like that, they would say, oh, you're an Oreo, you're just a sellout, you act white because you're not trying to actively indulge in our culture. Then they would call me an Oreo, so I had to find other people that were like that. I had to find kids that weren't ghetto.
What it sounds like you're saying is the epitome of Blackness in youth culture is ghetto culture.
Yes.
So you're confirming that?
Yes.
There's two sides. It's Black people and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go.
Okay, so that was a Chris Rock thing, and he was like, there's a war going on.
Between niggas and Black people. Mm-hmm. It was 1995, my friends, a long time ago.
It still makes sense today, though.
Okay.
So if you're comparing the niggas and the Black people, then they're comparing themselves to popular kids that are wearing babe jackets.
So the popular kids are niggers. In middle school, the popular Black kids.
Yes.
Who sell out to a commercial culture that exploits them.
That is exactly
that's nigger behavior.
Saying.
And that you were an independent. You were a Sundance. Those were the blockbusters. You were the Tribeca Film Festival of the school. So one of my concerns when I was your age is I wasn't Tribeca because I didn't have no idea what Tribeca was, but I knew I was not whatever the popular image of a Black boy was. But there was not a version of me in pop culture. So I more or less stayed to myself and tried to figure out who I was, did a lot of reading and stuff. But in terms of the person out there. And it's funny because we just again watched a year in review of 1990, and one of the shows that started in 1990 was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I was not into hip hop. I didn't get into hip hop until 1999, really. I was not into hip hop then because I bought into the criticisms of hip hop in that it was it's still misogynistic, but it was violent, it was glorifying a certain culture. And if I'm being told it's ghetto, and I'm kind of seeing quote unquote ghetto behavior from the kids at school, then I want to be as far away from that thing as possible. Obviously, later on, I realized some fallacies about that. How the outside culture can influence certain black folks to think and sort of, let's be honest with you, self-hate. Think in self-hate and not understand the nuances of why certain people would act certain ways, specifically in middle school where their brains are yet to be developed and they have no concepts of who they are. So they buy into concepts of who they are. And at some point you gotta almost forgive them for their ignorance and blame a lot of things. Blame a family structure that might not be there to teach them different, or a society that's really exploiting their innocence and their ignorance by selling them versions of who they are. And a lot of words just came out of my mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, what am I saying, Ohaniak?
You don't need to blame the person, you need to blame where they came from. Well,
not really. Because I've said the family structure is part of it. If they had somebody who was guiding and leading them and having conversations about this is why you want the Jordans, this is why you want that stuff, maybe that wouldn't happen. But it's basically, as you get older, things are going to get bigger and more complex. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger, complex issue. But you and I were in the same place at 13, 14, in that I didn't fit in. And I did. And I think I did a little bit more than you because my ability to be an athlete is very traditionally black. And my ability to be a dominant athlete is very attractive blackness. And so you build a lot of friends around that. But you're not a sports guy.
Not really.
So then, how do you survive the last 2 years?
It was the...
If you're the Oreo that nobody wants to talk to,
I had to
and you're not the athlete.
Oreos. We had to flock together and we had to make a group.
Flock of seagulls? A flock of Oreos?
A flock of Oreos.
That sounds like a 1980s English band. A flock of Oreos.
Flock of Oreos.
What's their first single, The Flock of Oreos?
A flock of...
Dip. Get dip. Get dip. 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 Get dip.
It's not so much a hip-hop band. It's just like a ska.
Alternative?
It's like ska. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Dip. 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 Dip.
So you found these cadre of friends that were of similar ilk in the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did y'all do? What did y'all talk about over the last 2 years?
We would really...
These were six black kids?
Yes. And they were mostly mixed. So it wasn't like Levantes and Chandras. It was like Chelsea's and Amara's.
Okay.
I haven't really been like comparing what we would talk about. To what like they would talk about, but instead of, I don't know, like looking up the new hot single on 97.5, we would be listening to like the new Logic album, or we would be listening to the new Katy Perry song, or we would occasionally listen to like Migos or something. We weren't really trying to separate ourselves from black culture. We were just like not sure if we wanted to go further into it, because that's what we saw. We saw Levantes and Shaniquas getting into fights every day and stealing stuff from the lunch line and running away from the cops and running away from the school police when they say, come back here. Turn me up, don't turn me down. Cut me up. We saw people that weren't doing very well, so I think we tried to disassociate with them, but instead, since that was the only sort of look into Black culture that we saw at Martin at the time, then we just assumed at some point that was all of it. And not to be at the same.
So that's a very interesting and acute observation that, and the more I grew up, specifically when it came to high school, the more I started, I knew it existed, but I didn't have access to it. Like, I always wondered, 1990, 1991 at the beginning of high school, and I'm having these more complex ideas about race and American history in my head, but I'm going, who can I talk to about this stuff? But I knew these conversations were going on. I just didn't know where. Every now and again, I would see spatterings of it. Like, I think Cornel West, as a thinker, was burgeoning up at that point. I think he'd written a book called Race Matters. So these ideas were out there in the zeitgeist. But like you, I didn't know. So I said, if this is the only version of blackness, and for example, for me, 1990, let's go back to something like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I didn't like it. I thought he was a terrible actor, and it was a terrible, stupid show. But that's all there is. And then were these spatterings of other hip-hop TV shows. LL Cool J got one in the house, Queen Latifah got one, Living Single, but that was about women. I'm a young man in Brooklyn, so that really didn't appeal to me. Later on, it did as I grew older. But there is this version of blackness in the... Because what you said earlier was that your friends or those people, the Laquandas and the Shanikos, are acting black. But I posit that it's a version of blackness.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the version that you and your six or your friends, ska music wise, see and experience. Do you accept and understand that?
Yes. I don't think now I've seen most of what I could see at the school. I've had friends that were like the dudes that would walk around and would only talk to like black people, and they wouldn't even trust white people to talk to. I've known people that only have white friends. I knew a dude whose granddad was in the KKK. There was a kid at my YMCA camp that I later learned he goes to Martin. And I was talking to him over the summer, and he was talking about how his dad was a racist douchebag and how he didn't really want to associate with that, but that's what everybody thought about him. Now, looking at like kids in the new age, they're not really scared to say, yeah, my granddad was in the KKK, but I'm not. I'm an activist because my granddad was in the Black Panthers. Or like, I'm supporting Black Lives Matter because my granddad was in the KKK or the Black Panthers or anything. But now that I've seen all of those people and how they interact with each other, and I know the reasons why black people won't want to talk to white people or they won't trust white people, because I've talked to them and I know now, now I know that that's not the only part of black culture that we're missing out on. There's so many different kinds of blackness that we need to sort of shed more light on. And that's sort of what I wanted to figure out by the end of the year, was how could I, while not becoming one of those people, but still know those people. Stop your messing around. Better think of your future. Time you straighten right out. I have some friends that know my white friends, but I also have black friends that don't even want to talk to my white friends just because they're white.
And they say that?
Yes.
Is the reverse also true? The white friends who don't want to talk to your black friends?
There was one guy that I was talking to that was, he's an open and honest dude. And he was like, yes, at some point I feel like I was intimidated by you because you were black. But now that I know.
Intimidated by you.
Intimidated by me, sweet little old me.
So why do you think that was, and what in his mind? So this is also part of growing up as a black man in America, is that a lot of times we have to look through other people's eyes to see what could they possibly be thinking about little old sweet Ohani Dari Samilo Ash. So why did he ever get at why he thought that you were dangerous?
It was just because I was black and I was.
And what do you think about that? How inane is that?
He'd been at the school longer than I have. I think he'd been there since sixth grade, and he was only seeing the Levantes and Lashondas and people like that, and he didn't really know that there were people like me or like my friends that didn't associate with them, but since we're black, people think we do.
So should there be a concerted effort from folks, and this is, it's funny because I used to think this, and I used to want to see this, literally, almost like the Black Panthers, but not quite, a student brigade.
Like a BSU?
Of kids like, well, what I was and what you are now, who was not...
Black Minds.
Intelligent Black Minds. This is why I have, my email is BYG, Black Young and Gifted. Now you know. Okay. And I wanted to have a BYG brigade all my life of kids who can then show this kid who has, and it's not his fault. It's not his fault because he's not associating with kids like you, because he doesn't know kids like you exist. So we need almost a brigade of kids show up, probably wearing suits and ties, probably mirroring what the Nation of Islam looks like without the whole militancy, if we choose not to, but just to show these sort of ignorant bred kids that there is another version of us. And it's sad that we have to do that, but I think we do. Do you think we have to do? Because you said this kid was at Martin since sixth grade. It's not like he was trying to be ignorant.
Right.
But he was fearful of the Lavanas and the Deshandes because of all the things you said. They were getting into fights, stealing stuff. That's not him. Bring up another thing. Remember that race roundtable that you and I went to at that church?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting at a table. We're the only two black men there, right. A bunch of white ladies and one black lady. And did it surprise you as well at the level of ignorance of the white
surprising.
Folks there
just
that
no
just
idea.
Did have no... It's not that they were trying to be ignorant,
right. They just
but they just have no clue.
Genuinely did not know about black culture at all.
And remember, a lady, a very rich South African lady, well-meaning, traveled the world. She said she was almost... putting her hands up is like, I want to meet black people, but I just don't see a bunch of them.
Oh, and they were talking about like the rent a black person.
I said that. Like, I said did, I did. Should start a club called rent a black person just to sit down. And so what could we do to, especially in middle school, because these ideas start bubbling up in middle school and you understand how first impressions work. First impressions last. Your first year at Ligon was a certain way, and now your vision of Ligon is scarred forever because of that. And I would say that if you were the person that you were, that you are now, or were in seventh grade, and that person went to Ligon in sixth grade, it would be a completely different experience, because you just said, at the end of eighth grade, I know this. I know there's a variety of black people. I can't blame them in a sense for acting that way, because I know a little bit more about, I guess, the systemic issues that cause them to be that. So a couple questions there. One, again, because I always want to go back to Ligon, that I want to just challenge you in your mind that it was not what was there. It is you. It is more than 50% of the experiences. What did you think and what were you ready for when you went to sixth grade? If you take your eighth grade self and go to Ligon, it's a completely different experience. Completely, you probably love it. Do you think you would have been successful and had a better experience at Ligon had the person you are now gone there in sixth grade? And two, what do we do for that kid who just does not know a bunch of black people and only has one vision of it? Because he's an innocent white kid, and I want to teach him, because he's probably going to grow up and that's not going to change a whole lot. Man, it's a damn good
day to be a white dude. Shit, I'm living good up in this bitch. Diggy rolling around the city, blowing good up in that weird. I ain't black or Dominican, not Hispanic or Indian. So imprisonment is not a predicament I envision for a white boy. Holla at your motherfucking kite boy. Higher than a motherfucking kite, it's aight, boy. They ain't suspicious of Jews. I show contrition, it's cool. Slap on my wrist, get my daddy to choose. One of them top lawyers that be rolling around in this crew. I'm eating chop soy and balling on a carnival cruise. That's what I do, kid. Happy that my name ain't stupid. Dave could have been Daquan with a few kids. But now I'm farting over eating the meals if I ain't got a thing.
A lot of people think it was a vision of black people. It was just a vision of me.
But you are black, and so it had to be a vision of black people.
Would it be? Would it be a vision of the entire culture as a whole, or just one?
If he's afraid to go and speak to the more ghetto black kids at Martin, but he finds time to speak to you, you are a representative of those kids. And that's
like,
what you were saying.
I like to say that. I like
or
to say that.
You're representative of black people because you're the only black person that he interacts with. So you are, by default, you are.
So,
and that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life.
Maybe since the jump, he had only seen that one sect of black culture, so he had only seen one part, so you can't really blame him for just sort of judging everybody, since he isn't...
Because you were doing the same thing.
Right.
Okay.
Since he is ignorant to the fact that there are more than one type of black people, and now he probably only thinks that there's two. Probably only thinks that there's Oreos and then there's ghetto people, and that there's not every single color or person that you can imagine. And he sort of would only think that because he had only seen one part. And to say that he was judging the entire culture was just to would be ignorant in itself. He was only judging that part since he had only seen that part.
So would you say that that's what happened with you at Ligon in sixth grade?
Absolutely. I hadn't seen all that there was to see, so I was in the exact same position he was. And I wasn't judging the entire culture. I was just judging that part.
These walls wanna cry tears. These walls happier when I'm here. These walls never could hold up. Every time I come around, demolition might crush. If these walls could talk, I
can feel rain when it... If I go back on Tuesday and I go to Martin and I say hi to all my teachers and everything, and I say hi to all my friends, I would probably like it. I would probably say this is a charming school. This is a nice institution.
Wait a second, if you go back to Martin or to Ligon?
To Ligon.
Okay.
If I go back to Ligon and I see that, I would probably just say it was sixth grade and kids are going to be kids. I don't even think it was huge fights over huge things. It was just like, let's slap box. Oh, you hit me too hard. I got to hit you back. And then they get into a fight. Like, it was just jokes now that I think about it. It was just jokes. At Martin, it's normally, like, weird and specific stuff. Like, there was one where some dude was looking at some other dude's girl's butt, and he was like, are you looking at her? And he was like, oh, no. And then they got into a fist fight. Like, it's always... It's either kids will be kids in sixth grade, and in eighth grade, it's like serious stuff that, or like serious, in quotes, because it's not really that important. But since we think that we're grown in eighth grade, and I'm saying this as an eighth grader, since we think that we're grown, we think we have grown people issues, so we get into grown people fights.
What are some grown people issues besides another man staring at your girlfriend's butt?
Like,
what is people, a grown? Because again, in a bar, that's a grown person issue.
Like, people are trying to get into relationships. Like, there's so many people in relationships in eighth grade that only last like a week and a half because people.
But it's very serious for that week.
Yeah, it's really serious. Moving on to a different subject. At Martin, our teachers are so great.
The teachers that are taken seriously in school are the ones that are hard? hard-nosed, strict, and have defined boundaries?
Like at the beginning of the school year, social studies teacher, I did not like her. I did not, and I don't think anybody did. Nobody really thought that she was a nice person.
Because she didn't let y'all get away with shit?
Right, mostly that. But like, she was just sort of more strict than the other teachers. So at the beginning of the year, I think I told mom, I was like, Miss Barham is my least favorite teacher. I really don't like her. And then now it's like, I really appreciate what she's doing. Miss Overby is one of the best math teachers in the state. They had to raise the curriculum for her classes. Her classes, they're like actually state regarded as the best classes because she's the hardest on her students. At the beginning of the year, I was like, she's so mean. Why is she so mean? I didn't get it. But now I appreciate it because if she didn't push me hard enough, then I would have failed and now I wouldn't be going on to the
next. So going into high school, when that high school teacher gets so-called quote-unquote hard and mean from jump, you'll be able to understand that's just...
That's how they have to that's how they do that.
To make sure you get to where you want to go academically by the end of the school year, but also to get to that understanding. I think that's one of the key things, hopefully, that people pick up in school, that you're picking up in school now, that it's not just about learning facts and figures and numbers. It's about learning how people operate. And that adults are placed in situations where they have to do things, maybe they don't want to as human beings, but it needs to happen so that you could get to a point to go, oh, I did learn. I was better because somebody was a little more strict, because somebody did have boundaries set for me. And I think at the end, in most situations, I think people operate better and are more successful when there are defined boundaries. Because they know how far they can go. And I think also they know that they've gotten better because they've exceeded those boundaries of being able to step out of that box. You have to know that the box exists first, or that this line exists, and then go, you know what? I'm about to enter a new zone. I'm about to enter a higher level because I'm now, like Miss the math teacher, I'm beyond this curriculum. They have to bring in something to cater to my expanded understanding of whatever it is that we're dealing with.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a tremendous thing. It's tremendous. It's wonderful. It's lovely.
It's the best.
It's the best. It's the absolute best. China. It's the best. So, we're about 45 minutes into talking to my son, Ohani Adari Samilo Ash, about his 8th grade transitional year. You listen to Ubuntu Radio. This is your host, Rhonda Ash. And, we got some other things to talk about.